You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Blake, and just like the state of Tennessee, the University of Tennessee Volunteers are a piece of shit.
You know, they're looking rough. I mean, it's hard for the state of Tennessee to look more podunk and backwoods, but bitching out to a bunch of social justice warriors just doesn't really fit the Tennessee brand. So, like, you're being fake, hypocritical. You really sound like a bunch of little bitches right now. There's a lot of that in college football right now. We're going to cover quite a bit of it in this episode.
Everybody's being so soft, it's unbelievable.
Exactly. All right, let's start it off by rolling in, talking about last week. Your first thoughts off the top of your head? We did have some good football games.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of big upsets.
Yeah. I mean, first one we can start with was the Thursday game, Ole Miss at Mississippi State. Mississippi State looked like they were doing pretty good until Fitzgerald went out. That was a nasty injury. His ankle was like all the way turned around.
Yeah, it was quite an Ed Bull, that is for sure. And Dan Mullen on his way out of Mississippi State. Damn.
Bye. He said, see ya.
See ya. Did not see that coming. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the coaching carousel. Let's get to some of the upsets. All right. The Miami-Pittsburgh upset, just literally Miami had no offense.
They couldn't do anything.
Nothing.
It literally looked like it was their first game they played as an offense. It was unbelievable. Rozier was just terrible.
Yeah, real bad. I mean, they got a little bit going at the end, but they just really couldn't do anything. Defense didn't play terrible, but they didn't play good enough to beat Miami.
No.
Narduzzi calling it at the half. I love that move by him. Calling out all the games Pittsburgh had upset people with. That was fantastic.
Oh, happened at Clemson, and it's happening today.
Love that move.
Love it.
Miami still a shot. Yes, that was coaching move of the week for sure. Miami's still in the hunt, though. This happened to Clemson last year. Lost to Pitt. I mean, same thing. So we'll see. We'll see if they'll need a lot more offense. Clemson looked good against South Carolina. They looked really good against South Carolina. South Carolina's offense looked about as bad as you could possibly look.
Oh,
which is pretty wild. Well,
it's the ultimate, you know, Will Muschamp team. It's always been his Achilles heel. He has good defenses. He can coach the hell out of a defense. They will always play with everybody, but when it comes to offense, they're inept. They can't develop quarterbacks. They can't develop talent on the offense. And I mean, you're never going to beat the big boys if you can't play offense. I mean, it's just, it will just never happen.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, you got to be able to play offense. The SEC doesn't look like they have a whole lot of offense rolling into the playoff. Georgia looked good against Georgia Tech, rolled them. We're going to finish up talking about Auburn-Alabama. That'll be our last game to talk about. But, that was a huge game for Clemson. Let's roll to the Pac-12 a little bit. Stanford saying, see you later, Notre Dame, for the playoff. Thank you, Lord, for those smart motherfuckers at Stanford.
Yeah, thank God.
We got rid of Notre Dame. That's what we wanted. That's what we were talking about. Let's go. Go Cardinal.
On a less fun note,
our Mike Leach, our fighting Mike Leach, Washington State Cougars, they got trounced.
Laid an egg.
They got trounced. Yeah, that was a bad look for us.
Yeah, we're a Wazoo podcast, but, I mean, they just got the doors blown off them.
Yikes. I mean, that was an ugly, ugly game.
Terrible.
But, hey, what can you do? What can you do? Yikes.
I mean,
yikes,
we love Leach, but that was just an all-out, out-coached, out-played, out-everything. Ugh.
Yeah,
burn that tape. Calling it back to one of our old segments, burn that tape.
Burn that. Light that thing on fire. Get rid of every copy. Scourge the internet of it, because that stuff is awful football. Awful football. Speaking of awful football, I don't know if you watched the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Oh, I did.
That was some ugly, ugly football.
Terrible. Michigan, O'Korn might be the worst starting quarterback in major college football right now. He is horrendous.
Oh,
what happened? He looked pretty good at U of H. Pretty good when he came in for Greg Ward. He looked pretty good in Houston, then transferred to Michigan and somehow just forgot how to throw the ball.
I mean, if O'Korn could have completed like 5 or 10 more of his passes, Michigan would have won that game by like 14 to 20 points.
Oh, yeah.
He missed multiple wide-open receivers, losing drives. Like, that was bad. That was a really bad look. And Michigan was ramming it down Ohio State's throat first two quarters of the game until about 8 minutes left in the second quarter when Ohio State picked up some speed. But they were ramming it down. Defense was looking good, running it down their throat, absolutely murking them.
And then, smoking them.
Alcorn just couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. But
this sucks.
We did learn two things. Ohio State really cannot stop the run very well.
No. And that's going to be tough against Wisconsin, who can run the ball very well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I call this a hot take. Wisconsin may look like the best team in the country right now.
That's a hot take, but you might not be wrong. I mean, if they could get a little bit from Hornibrook, they can beat anybody. If Hornibrook can complete 5 or 6 big passes in the game, they may blow the doors off, you know, Ohio State, because they'll just run the ball down their throat.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this stat line against Minnesota. 15 for 19, 151 yards, 3 TDs from Hornibrook. That's not great stats. That's not very good stats. But that will win you the Big Ten championship, and that'll probably get you through the first round of the playoff, if we're being completely honest.
Seriously, yeah. They play good defense. Wisconsin plays good defense. I mean, they'll hit you in the face. They got some really good linebackers down there and pretty good corners. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. And, I mean, JT Barrett's a little hurt. You know, he's banged up.
Yeah,
we don't know if he's starting.
If he's not starting
for Ohio State, Ohio State's gone. See you later.
Haskins played okay, but he wasn't anything special. He wasn't going to Cardale Jones him. But I'm calling fake news on the stupid cameraman hitting JT Barrett, him getting injured. I'm calling bullshit on that. Fuck you, JT Barrett, and fuck you, Urban Meyer, for trying to pull that myth. Maybe he slightly ran into a cameraman, but there's no way he hurts his knee that bad from slightly running into a sideline cameraman. Also,
I know, it's a conspiracy theory. It's insane.
Also, JT Barrett, you are supposed to be one of the best athletes in college football, especially at the quarterback position. You're telling me some little fucking fat white cameraman probably injured you in some vast conspiracy? Like, give me a break, JT. Show me the footage and then I'll believe it. Show me the fucking footage. Like,
what was he doing in warm-ups to where he was running into a cameraman?
You know, I always had a sense that JT Barrett was a pussy since he left the state of Texas to play college football, just like J.K. Dobbins or whatever. And now I know it. Like, if you're a Texas football player, we're going here. Make Texas college football great again. All the schools. I mean, you shouldn't. If you're playing high school football in the state of Texas, you certainly shouldn't go to Columbus, fucking Ohio, that hellhole, to go play college football. You should stay in the state. There's beautiful campuses in Austin. There's beautiful in Fort Worth, Houston. I mean, I'm sure Lubbock and Columbus have equal prettiness on their campus. I wouldn't go to Waco. That's a bunch of shit.
I would not go to Waco.
Wouldn't go to Waco. But other than that, there's some great, great, wonderful places to play college football in the state of Texas. So go fuck yourself if you leave it.
I know. I love that. Make high school college football player stay in the damn state of Texas.
Damn straight. We should bar those other fucking schools from stepping on our campuses. Let's get some Texas State Legislature on that shit.
Let's do it. I'm in. Let's propose a bill.
Propose a bill. All right. Let's talk. We got to talk about the biggest game of the week.
Yeah, we do.
Auburn versus Alabama.
Go Tigers.
If I'm being honest, this just proves that Alabama hasn't been tested all year.
Yeah, they haven't.
Auburn didn't look stunning.
No.
I mean, they played well. They played very well.
They played a well game. They played a good game. Not a great game. They played a good game.
If I was going to compare this performance to the Georgia performance, Auburn looked 5 times better, maybe. Like, they looked impressive in the Georgia game. They looked good in this game, but Alabama just looked bad. Their offense was non-existent.
What has kind of happened to Hurts? What's happened to him?
I mean, he couldn't do anything. Like, I don't know. Should we call it the running back
running wildcat? Every time he just snaps the ball, he's looking to run. When he drops back to pass, he's got open receivers and he blatantly misses them or just pulls it down for like a 5-yard gain. I mean, the guy looked terrible out there.
Is it safe to say that Nick Saban isn't the same coach without Lane Kiffin?
Oh, it might be safe.
I think it is safe because I think call this. This is an even hotter take. I think the Alabama reign is over. I think Nick Saban's on a downslide. He's old. He's getting up there in age. He's always going to be great, but that terror,
he's getting too grumpy.
Yeah, that terror.
He's not happy anymore.
Yeah, agreed. And like the new phase of like Dabo Swinney has, I'm going to call it right here. Dabo Swinney has taken his place as the top college football coach. He still has some work left to do. He has some championships left to win, but Clemson look really good right now. They have one bad loss. Alabama has not been tested, and when they finally took a test, they got swaddled up like a little baby and put out to the pasture.
I'm looking at Alabama's schedule. This is really the first serious game they played, like serious good team they played all year. And I mean, they got almost, basically you could say they got their ass kicked.
I mean, yeah.
Look at their schedule, Blake. They have a terrible, terrible schedule.
Yeah, it's rough. It is a rough schedule. I do not think Alabama should make the playoff. We're going to cover that more. We're going to have a whole segment on it, breaking it down with some guests in our next episode this week. Alabama should be out, I think. I think this proved it. I don't think they should be in. I don't think they're a top four team in the country.
Me either. I don't think at all. I mean, they, like I just said, they've played one good game and they lost.
Agreed. All right. That's a solid recap of last week. Some great games, a credible rivalry weekend. Now let's roll on to one of our favorite segments.
The coaching carousel.
And has it been a wild weekend for this?
Oh my God.
All of my hopes and dreams for this year's coaching carousel have been met. They have been exceeded. It has been absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Pandemonium.
So let's start off with the hot story. Tennessee. What the fuck? Tennessee, what the fuck? The literal fuck.
What is happening? What is happening?
I mean, we'll just recap it for the audience. Greg Schiano signed, coach in waiting or whatever the pre-contract to the fucking real contract was. Then 100 people, this is what I read in the article, I don't remember if it was the Washington Post or ESPN, but 100 people and painted a fucking rock and decided to protest, and then all of a sudden, he's gone?
He's gone.
Like, they're going to fire him after that? After 100 social justice warriors in the state of Tennessee? And you're having Republican congressmen coming out saying, oh, man, it shouldn't be Greg Schiano. So Greg Schiano, there's been no proof that he did any of the things they said he did. McQuarrie has been shown to be a liar. And the free report was basically thrown into the garbage because it was a trash can hit piece.
The guy who came at him, the guy who said he did, you know, he was involved in the whole Penn State. This guy was like the lowest level of assistant you could possibly be. And there's no proof. Zero.
Literally zero proof that Schiano or Tim Bradley was the other one mentioned, who was the OC or DC at UCLA. There's literally zero proof. These people have had multiple jobs since then. Everyone says that they are like incredible people. Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer, two of the most respected names in the sport, backed up Schiano, said he was an incredible person, like all of that. And you're still going to just let 100 fucking social justice warriors run over your entire university's decisions? Are you that big of pussies, Tennessee?
It's so insane to think that in this day and age, people on social media can influence people and cause a guy to get his job taken away.
We are literally this is a diatribe on how innocent until proven guilty has disappeared from this earth.
Gone.
It's disappeared. In the land of the free, we are no longer free to keep a clean name when social justice warriors can just come at you. Come at you like crazy. Which is absolutely insane. it's ridiculous that Tennessee doesn't have the fucking balls to stand by their pick and stand by a guy who has been universally renowned as a good dude, a good coach, and a great person to work for and work with. So I have no doubt that Schiano will get another job. Honestly, I think this puts Tennessee 10 years back in their program. I don't think they're going to get a good coach anymore, and I think they're going to lose for another 10 fucking years.
Is Tennessee a good job? Do you want to go to Tennessee and coach there now after seeing all this shit?
Oh, to see how, like, Florida has been our worst job on the list for a while now. Tennessee just jumped them tenfold by bowing down so easily to not even, like, big donor pressure or anything, just social justice warriors riding on a fucking rock and coming to protest and screaming on Twitter. Honestly, I don't care. I am never going to bend down to a Twitter mob. If a Twitter mob ever comes at me, if I have a company or whatever, I'm sending them a picture of a dildo going back at their face or some shit like that and telling them to fuck off. I'm going to run my company my way.
Yeah, like, it's insane. I mean, Tennessee, just dumpster fire. Garbage state, garbage football program. I mean, if you're a Volunteer fan, you just got to be thinking, what the hell are we doing? Like, what are you doing?
Just split it up between Georgia, Kentucky, and Mississippi, and say, see you later, Tennessee. Goodbye as a state. So go annex them now. If you're the state legislators of Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, and whatever those states it touches, go annex your piece of Tennessee. Get the mineral rights to whatever the most profitable coal region of Tennessee is, because you're done. In my eyes, you're done as a state, Tennessee.
Done.
Go fuck yourself.
It's over. Get out of here.
All right, now that we've had our little Tennessee rant, because they are such pussies, what do you want to talk about first? I think we have to go UCLA, Mora out, Chip Kelly in.
I mean, 10 out of 10 hire for UCLA. They did a hell of a job.
Damn straight. That's what we said. We were saying last couple weeks, Chip Kelly would be an idiot to take the Florida job. And, I mean, yeah, it's great. Wonderful.
I mean, Chip Kelly's proven that he can win and win big in the Pac-12. I mean, if he would have stayed one more year and not gone to the NFL, I think they would have won that national championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, huge hire for UCLA. They're back. Finally someone to rival USC. Honestly, I think this is the beginning of the UCLA era in the Pac-12. It'll be UCLA, Washington. Washington State will have every other year will be in the mix. I honestly think USC now becomes the second tier school in UCLA or in Los Angeles over the next 10 years, just because Chip Kelly is that good of a coach.
Oh yeah, he's going to be able to recruit Texas, California. I mean, he can almost recruit. He'll get his pick of the West Coast guys, and he'll even probably pull some recruits out of Texas to go play in that system. I mean, if you're a wide receiver, dual threat quarterback, scat back style running back, where else would you go? I mean, that offense sets you up perfectly.
Agreed. Now let's roll on. We've covered UCLA. Let's roll on Texas A&M. Someone out. The rumors are that Jimbo Fisher's in. This is what everyone's talking about. They're going to get Jimbo Fisher, the AD. They work together at LSU. One, do you think it happens? Two, do you like the hire?
One, no. Two, yes. I mean, I think Jimbo Fisher would be a good coach for A&M just because he's won a national championship. He has name recognition. I think the root of the problem is I'm not sure if you can compete in the SEC if you're Texas A&M.
Agreed. You would be willingly going to the tough part of the SEC. You'd be going to the SEC West, I believe.
West.
Yeah. The not East is the shitty one. Oh, I should have known that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the toughest division in the SEC to play, which actually I don't know if it's that bad of a move, because the ACC is getting stronger in the past 5 years. The SEC has gotten weaker in the past 5 years. Yeah. Ole Miss is really not a threat anymore. Mississippi State, now that Dan Mullen is leaving for Florida, we'll cover that next, is really probably not going to be a threat anymore. Arkansas just fired their coach, so it's actually a pretty good time. Alabama could be a little bit down. Auburn looks to be on the upswing. They're going to be good for a couple years as long as they have Jarrett Stidham, because that dude can play. Another pussy for leaving Texas. But his judgment was questionable just because he went to Baylor in the first place. So we don't
know. Exactly.
I mean, kid's probably fucked in the head. But yeah, I think if they can land Fisher, I think it's a slam dunk hire for him.
Slam dunk.
I have some inside information that Florida State is another place he doesn't have a football-only facility, that their facilities are a little out of date. He maybe has some family issues going on. Mm. So if they hire him, I think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah,
I'm still a little skeptical like you whether they'll actually get him. It seems like a reach to go from Florida State to A&M, but you never know.
Yeah, the only thing is I worry about Jimbo Fisher is, has he ever recruited Texas before?
Oh, I'm sure he recruited Texas when he was at Alabama.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta have those.
And LSU too, LSU as well. He's got the ends with Texas. He'll go in Texas A&M and he'll hire a bunch of Texas guys, like all the smart ones do. I think he'll be fine recruiting in Texas. Honestly, even if you've never recruited in Texas, you know the big schools. You can go create relationships if you're at a Texas A&M. High school coach, it's all about that, throwing that name around and trying to entice a high school coach. You can entice with the flirting of a high school coach of a job at the next level. Texas high school football coaches will jump, bite, eat at that shit.
Oh, yeah. Anything to get out of high school football and move up to college, they want that so bad.
Absolutely. And, I mean, if you can't recruit in the state of Texas, then you're not worth a dog shit as a coach.
I mean, I really think if A&M can get Jimbo Fisher to leave Florida State, they hit a home run. And I think that will – I'm not sure if that will push them to compete with Alabama while Saban's there. But I definitely think it jumps them up to, third behind Auburn and Alabama as, in the SEC, because I think Jimbo Fisher will build a nice program.
Well, yeah, in the West, I think Georgia's a force that can hopefully continue to grow and secede. I'm hoping they beat Auburn this week. But, yeah, okay. So let's keep talking SEC. Florida, this was a wild move, came out of nowhere for me. But Mullen from Mississippi State to Florida, honestly, a little bit of a weird move. I guess – Mississippi State, Starkville, I haven't heard great things about that area. I mean, probably not a nice place to live, but is Gainesville really that much better? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Gainesville is that much better, and with their all their issues with their AD and their athletic department not supporting football completely, I think even if you're moving to Florida, the facilities might even be better than Stark Vegas. I mean, I don't think that school has that much money to even spend on their football program. I mean, Dan Mullen has really built, Mississippi State up from, the gutter. I mean, they were nothing before Dan Mullen came.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like at Mississippi State, you win 6 games, go to a bowl, and you're good, though. You're not going to get fired.
Yeah.
Maybe he's feeling the heat a little bit. I don't know what there could be background. It feels like there's got to be a little bit of background there. Maybe there's some pushback from the AD. With the state of Florida and how the lack of support, they must have either given him a fuck ton more money or just he wants out of Starkville. That's the only explanation I have. Florida.
Well, he was also the offensive coordinator for the Tebow years under Meyer, so he's got ties to Florida.
Yeah, that'll probably help. Yeah, I guess if he's comfortable, he likes it. If he knows the ADs, except for it's a new AD from when he was there, I believe.
Right.
But who knows? But, yeah, okay. Well, let's roll on.
Breaking news. Got a little breaking news here for you. Sure. Matt Campbell and Iowa State agreed to a 6-year, $22 million contract.
Ooh, damn.
Matt
okay.
Campbell's getting paid, son.
Yeah, wow. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I thought he would probably stay for at least a couple more years. A 6-year contract, that's pretty big. Yeah. That means
I thought he would sign a 3-year deal, for the next, at least lock him up for the next 3, but a 6-year extension. Woo. He's there for, I mean, unless somebody really big comes in and tries to buy him out.
I mean, that right there is signs that he doesn't plan on leaving soon because.
Yeah. After having this kind of season at Iowa State, he's basically got job security for the next 6 years. They're not going to fire Matt Campbell after turning this program around.
Oh, I agree, but not many people are going to be able to afford that buyout to go get him. So he's literally looking at a top tier program like Texas and Alabama. I don't know if any of those are coming open anytime soon because it seems like this is a wild year for – I don't remember the last time this many good jobs were open at one time.
Yeah, no.
Everyone is firing everybody right now. So let's go –
everywhere's open.
Let's go to one of the newer ones that was kind of out of – a little bit out of nowhere. Arizona State, Graham out – possibly someone in.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a great landing spot for Sumlin. It really would be.
Agreed.
I mean, Arizona State's a good job. It's basically one of those jobs you win 6-7 games, you can almost have. But for Graham, I mean, if someone goes in there, he can win 6-7-8 games a year and be fine and have job security. That's all they need.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great hire for them. I think he's going to do really well there. He can recruit Texas. He'll get a fun Arizona State, fun place to play. You don't have super high expectations. I thought they would give Graham one more year, but I've heard he's kind of a cocksucker. So I guess maybe that had something to do with it. If you're not performing on the field and you're a huge dick, I mean, that could have a little bit to do with your firing. So we'll see how it plays out. Rolling on, Arkansas, Bielema out. Also a guy who's
I hate Brett Bielema. I hope he goes off and just eats himself into a coma and never coaches football again. He's a dick. He's just a fat piece of shit that's a bad football coach.
Agree. I didn't hate Bielema until TCU started playing with him, and he just is like a dick on the sideline. And
he's just
is complaining
ass,
and looks like a fat fucking slob. It really just... I can't put a reason on it that's like valid, like a valid reason. Being a fat slob isn't a valid reason to hate somebody. But I fucking hate Brett Bielema.
I hate this guy.
Like, there's just some nagging reason. Like, I don't fucking like this
guy. Hated him at Wisconsin, and I hate him at Arkansas, and I'm going to hate him at the junior college that he coaches for next year.
I think he's going to have a rough time finding another head coaching job soon. Just his style of offense is so out of date. And honestly, he's known for being a dick. He's probably going to have to go be an OC if he wants to be at a big place.
And yeah, I think he's going to be an offensive line coach somewhere for the rest of his time. That's all I think he's going to do.
Very possibly. Very possibly. He's just... Fuck Bielema. Bielema.
I'm glad Arkansas fired him.
I don't know if Arkansas... With all these jobs open, I guess most of them have been taken. I think if you're Arkansas, you have to throw the full court press at Neil Brown.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Like, you have to get to a spread system. Neil Brown's a guy who turned around Troy's program. I don't know if anyone who's ever won at Troy. Back-to-back 10-win seasons, that's pretty unheard of.
At Troy.
Yeah, at Troy, offensive coordinator at Kentucky and Big 12 in the past, and Texas Tech in the Big 12 in the past. He's a Mike Leach guy. He's 37 years old. I think you got to go after him, full court press. Try to beat Tennessee with him, because Tennessee should be going after him as well, but... If I'm Neil Brown, I'm staying as far away from Tennessee as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Arkansas may be a better job. You're closer to Texas, which is a thing. I think you get a lot more Texas kids to go to Arkansas than to Tennessee.
Yes.
Which I think can be huge for your recruiting advantage. Similar, other than that, similar stadiums, similar ravenous of hick hillbilly country-ass fans, similar facilities, I would assume. I don't know a whole lot about their facilities.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah, similar jobs. I think you take the Arkansas job just because.
Texas.
Just because fuck Tennessee at this point.
Yeah.
Fuck Tennessee.
I mean, Tennessee's just a shit show right now. Literally a shit show. It's like Tennessee is the blackout 19-year-old freshman girl at her first frat party, just like. Pass out on the couch.
You don't want to get anywhere near
that's Tennessee football, right?
Tennessee football. Put them in an Uber. Get them the fuck home.
Yeah,
that's what you want. Agreed. All right. Next one. This is old. Ole Miss hiring Matt Luke. Kind of a weird move. They kind of sucked this season, and he was under. He was a guy underneath. I mean, they're 6-6, but he was a guy underneath Hugh Freeze.
I see. Stay woke on this one. I think he's a placeholder because I think they're going to get a shitload of NCAA sanctions coming down. Their program is going to be in the basement for 2 or 3 years. They know they're not going to get a good coach. I honestly think this is college football's version of tanking. I think they're just going to say, we'll give you, you know, because they're going to pay him a low salary.
Yeah.
They're just going to ride out these shitty years with, you know, decreased scholarships, maybe another season of a bowl ban. And then once they can put all this shit behind them, they can go out and get a legit head coach and then, you know, basically start the rebuilding process at Ole Miss. Because why would you go out and try to get a high-level name when you have no idea what the NCAA is going to do to your program?
Great point. I hadn't thought about it that way. That makes a lot of sense, actually. 2 or 3 year guy, he's cheap. Yeah, that makes sense. I like it. They won 6 games with him this year, so that's if you're shooting for 6-6, then you got him. You got your guy. All right. Last but not least, we talked about it with our good old friend Pete Witt. We'll bring him back on whenever they make the hire. Nebraska, Mike Riley out. Is Scott Frost the guy?
He has to be. I think they throw everything they have and they try to get Scott Frost. He has all the ties in Nebraska. We both don't like him, but I think everybody in the world thinks he's going to go to Nebraska. I think he would be dumb not to.
Call this a hot take. I honestly think UCF is a better job than Nebraska right now.
Oh, I agree with you, but I think he doesn't think that. Nebraska's the mecca of football, and he's going to go there if they offer him.
I hope he goes there so bad.
I think he's going to lose so 8 bad. Games the next 4 years and be on his ass and be right back at UCF.
I hope he goes there so bad and loses 15 games a year.
You just can't recruit out of Nebraska anymore. You just can't do it.
And it's partial for my hatred of their, like, old school style program, Nebraska born, Nebraska bred.
We're Huskers.
Nebraska Husker football. Corn. We like corn, 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 corn. No, go fuck yourself. Run the spread offense. Get out of the Big Ten. No one likes you.
They need to go, but that's a team that needs to get the hell back to the Big 12. Going to the Big Ten was the worst move their football program ever made.
A really bad move. No one thought at the time.
You can't recruit Texas now. No Texas kids want to go play in the Big Ten.
I agree. Unless you're going to Ohio State or Michigan. Those are the only two schools.
Oh, yeah, because you got to recruit the Midwest if you're going to play in the Big Ten. And all the Midwest kids want to go to Ohio State, Penn State, or Michigan State. And then some of them will even go to Wisconsin. And that's about it.
Yeah, and there's about 5 Midwest kids that are skill positions. The rest are big wide linemen. So that's a rough job. It's bottom tier I would put it with like Rutgers and Illinois. I'd put it with those schools right now because it's not a job you want. It's
you
not
just
a job
can't
anyone
recruit.
Wants.
You can't recruit. And college football is about 65% recruiting.
All right. So that colors up the coaching carousel. A rousing addition. This has been an electric, absolutely electric start. I hope it just keeps continuing. There's still a couple names on the chopping block. Kingsbury at Texas Tech.
No,
his buyout is huge.
What? AD said he's in for next year.
Fucking,
confirmed it.
I don't care what ADs say. They're lying fucking cocksuckers, most of them. Very few of them will tell the truth to the public. Like, he's probably in because it's a $6 million buyout. I don't think those poor fucks at Tech can really afford that. Yeah, so we'll see. There's still a couple heads on the chopping block. But let's roll into – this is going to be our rant segment. I'm going to start – I've been using the hashtag on Twitter the last couple days, hashtag Fire Bob Bowlesby. And if you don't know we're talking about Nick Orr, you're damn right we're talking about Nick Orr.
Yeah,
we are. It is fucking absurd to suspend him for first half. We haven't suspended anyone in the Big 12 all year. Nick Orr was on the ground getting kicked and punched and pushed over. You can't defend yourself anymore? Where have we come where we haven't suspended anyone all year and we're going to come in and suspend the starting safety for TCU going to play OU? You tell me that's not rigged, Bob Bowlesby? Bob Tiny Balls Bowlesby? Jesus Christ.
I mean, how do you not – if you don't suspend Baker Mayfield, you can't suspend Nick Orr.
Exactly.
You cannot.
Exactly. Like, they're different. They're basically, I mean, they're totally different things. But Nick Orr, if you watch the fight, number 52 on Baylor started it. Big ass fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Because he pushed him. He pushed him, and then Blacklock came and bitch slapped his ass, leveled him. Fight ensued. Baylor's kids are kicking and punching, and you expect us not to fight back? The criminals.
He was defending himself. He had 10 Baylor guys surrounding him.
The criminals at Baylor, they're still there. The Art Briles criminals. It's absolutely absurd that Bob Bowlesby is sucking OU's dick right now, playing right into their hand. And honestly, I think this is going to fire us up.
Yeah. Oh, TCU is going to come out firing, and they're going to hit Baker Mayfield really hard in it. I think there's going to be a couple roughing the passer calls. I think Gary's just going to say he's going to turn the dogs loose.
I swear if they eject Boson again, I will go to Bob Bowlesby's house. I'll find a flight, find out where he lives, take a shit on his front porch, and then light his grass on fire. Maybe not light the grass on fire. That seems a little criminally. But I'll take
a shit.
You
heard it here first. Blake I'll take is a shit on Bob Bowlesby's doorstep.
On his front fucking porch. Let's talk about Bob Bowlesby besides this. So what has he done for the Big 12? He's gotten the Big 12 into one of three playoffs. No help with the TCU-Baylor situation in 2014. He missed chances to add Louisville or teams to the Big 12. He's basically enabled Texas and OU to run the Big 12 for money, which will, honestly, in 2021, the Big 12 probably won't be a conference anymore because we failed to expand when everyone is expanding. And right. I directly blame Bob Bowlesby for that. He came into power in 2012, right as expansions were starting. He missed the ball because he let OU and Texas bully him. And honestly, he has done nothing good for the Big 12. Honestly, should be fired immediately and should never have a job as an administrator for a conference ever again.
I completely agree. He's been horrible. You have to expand in this day and age, and we did not do it, and we let teams walk away. How do you let Nebraska, Missouri, how do you let them walk away?
Well, he didn't do that. He wasn't hired yet, but he didn't – like the age of expansion hadn't even – that was the beginning. The second tier where it really happened was like 2013, 2014, like – which was, I mean, that's when you had the opportunities to get Louisville, to get – who were the other teams? There were a couple other teams that were always on, like, the list of people you could grab. Louisville would have been an incredible grab. We would have Houston. Louisville would have – we would have had a basketball national championship or national champion if we had grabbed Louisville and then a Heisman Trophy winner. Honestly, Louisville would have helped a ton with the spotlight and everything. We could have had a championship game earlier. It's Bob Bowlesby. This Nick Orr suspension is not warranted. Zachary Orr, both of Nick Orr's brothers tweeted out about it. Zach Orr, if you don't know, longtime player for the Baltimore Ravens, now an assistant coach. His other brother, don't know where he played, but he coached at DeSoto. Very respectable, intelligent. I know Nick Orr personally. He's a great kid, great player, humble, always went to class, smart, intelligent, has been like a four-year starter, standout dude. And you're going to do this to him in the Big 12 championship, Bob Bowlesby?
One of the biggest games of his entire life. You're going to suspend him
for the first half. You haven't suspended anyone all year, and you're suspending him for the first half. Honestly, it's a rivalry game. You can't let kids fight a little. I honestly welcome the fighting. The stands were lit up when we were there when the fight started. People love that shit. It makes college football more exciting. The tension flaring. A couple punches doesn't hurt anybody. No one was, like, knocked out. No one got physically injured. It's football.
All the guys had helmets and pads on.
It's not bitch ball. It's football. It's fucking football. Let them fight a little bit like hockey. Why do you think hockey is such an entertaining sport? Because you can fight whenever you want. It's a rivalry game. Let the tension flare. Like, it's just absolutely absurd. All right, we got to finish up this rant. But everybody, if you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, if you ever want to say anything, hashtag fire Bob Bowlesby. Let's try to get it trending. We might put out a letter, an open letter that we can have people send to his doorstep. I'll pay for the postage myself. But yeah, now that that's over. Whew, all right. We'll end on something a little bit lighter.
Little lighter note here.
Little lighter note. It's holiday season. Thanksgiving just ended. Hope everyone had some great meals. We covered holiday or Thanksgiving foods on our last episode. So today we're going to talk about favorite holiday beers and cocktails.
All right. I'll start it off with my favorite holiday beer. And I think my favorite holiday beer is an old-time classic in Texas, the Shiner Cheer. It is a amazing Christmas time, Thanksgiving time beer. Can't beat it. Pairs well with everything. If you haven't tried Shiner Cheer, go pick one up. You will not regret it.
Oh, absolutely. That was my number one as well. So I'll have to go down to my number two. This is a little bit of a sweeter drink, but it is absolutely delicious. It's peppermint schnapps and hot chocolate with a little bit of cream.
Oh, my God. It is amazing.
It is absolutely phenomenal. Sweet, great for a fire, wonderful for a fire. But yeah, that Shiner Cheer is the number one by far. It's got the pecan, it's got that peach. It really makes you feel like you're at Christmas in Texas.
Oh yeah, it's great. I'm gonna go with my that was on my list, but one of my favorite is always the old classic White Russian.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Oh yeah, can't beat the White Russian, the dude.
That is a great one. I literally. White Russian, it's got you got the milk, it's sweet. Ugh.
Yeah, you got the after dinner, you have a nice big, you know, Thanksgiving ham or a Christmas ham, some turkey. You've had a couple beers, you make yourself a White Russian. There's not much better than that. Have some pie with it.
That's great. So this is kind of wrapping in with the Shiner Cheer. But it's a Shiner Cheer float. So just throw some ice cream in your Shiner Cheer. Let it melt a little bit. You eat it. You drink it. It's a wonderful, wonderful dessert. Big, bold, flavorful. Everything you want in a childhood snack, but make it the adult version.
Yeah. Great.
Great. All right. You got any other ones?
Probably my last one is the old... It's a little bit of an odd drink, but it's called a Fall Moscow Mule, if you've ever had one.
I may have. I'm not sure. So, describe it to
So me. You do a little bit of vodka, and then you do a little bit of caramel-flavored vodka.
Ooh, okay.
You do ginger cinnamon-spiced beer.
Oh, I like
Add
that.
A little lime juice or freshly squeezed lime, preferable freshly squeezed, and then a cinnamon stick to garnish it in an apple.
Love it. That's good stuff.
Whew.
That's good. That's really good. Finish it off. The only other thing I have is just any type of red wine. A nice bold red wine. No rosé. Get out of here, white girls. Red, a bold, deep, flavorful red wine. It's hard to beat.
It is. Red wine is just the classic of the classics. You can never go wrong with a good red wine.
Agreed. All right, I think that's about it for this week's show. We have another one coming later this week where we're going to cover the championship games. We're going to bring a couple guests on. Hopefully, we'll have our most recurring guest, Colin Groves, on to discuss TCU. Possibly some other guests, hopefully, if we can get them looped in to talk some Georgia football with us. Georgia-Auburn game. We'll just discuss... discuss the events of this weekend. So
we will, and I'm sure we'll have some more coaching carousel. So look out for that.
Let's hope. All right, thanks guys. Go follow the Instagram, follow the Twitter. Have a great night.
Follow it. Peace. Holiday.